Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Now, good morning to you. This is Breakfast Business with me, Emmett Oliver. You're very welcome along on this Friday. Coming up on the show later, we'll be hearing how mortgage approvals continue to grow despite all the other things going on in the economy. First-time buyers showing their hand in that area. We'll also be talking about the state and health of the Irish food industry as the Bloom Festival gets underway. But before we do any of that, it's been a very bumpy week, is it never not, in the case of what's happening in the US and with President Trump and our tariffs. But there's a fair bit of Irish domestic business news floating around too. So let me walk you through that with Aidan Donnelly, our guest, who is from Davy Stockbrokers. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, Emmett. How are you?
Good indeed. Looking forward to a long weekend. So listen, let's talk a little bit about Irish news first. We'll get on to markets and tariffs and all that sort of stuff in a few minutes. But I see across the Examiner, the Independent, probably the Irish Times, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's there as well, is the central bank of all people making large losses. It certainly makes for dramatic headlines. The Independent says central bank loses 795 million euros last year in interest rate mismatches. Now, I know the labyrinthine nature of central bank books are a bit strange for a lot of us, but maybe you can talk us through what's going on.
Well, at the risk of making sure that people don't fall back asleep having just woken up, I think we keep it to a very, very high level. But ultimately, look, when the central bank will obviously be buying and selling bonds as it tries to manage the monetary policy of the business. And, you know, while, as you said yourself, well, this gets a great headline. Really, that's all it is. You know, there's not as if there's a huge hole after being punched. They have to mark these things to market every year, the positions and things like that. So, you know, they would have expected this to be coming along because as interest rates have moved, there'll be certain assets that they own in terms of bonds and things like that that will obviously have changed in value. And, you know, although, you know, it's not like if you and I lose money, it's slightly different when
it comes to
the
real money.
Yeah, well, it is real money, but it's not you know, they don't need to go down and buy the bread and milk in the shops, let's just say. But so they've been expecting this, and they have provision for it. They've built up over a 3 billion euro provision over the last couple of years in anticipation of this. And it's an eye-watering headline, but when you scratch under the surface, that it's just this is what they do, you know, and this is what they have to do day in, day out.
Now, listen, where we are talking real money is a potential merger between two very prominent and highly visible law firms. One is William Fry, which I guess most of our listeners would have heard of at some stage, and then a second law firm called Eversheds Sutherland, which maybe is less prominent. But there has been merger talks going on for the last few months, but they seem to have come to a stunning halt, according to a story on the front of the Irish Times. Maybe you could talk to Aidan there.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one because, as you said, it looked as if it was going to be it was almost on autopilot to land and be successful. Now, this is William Fry have over 200 practicing solicitors within Ireland, so it makes them the sixth largest. And Eversheds Dublin has about 107, so it's not an inconsiderable amount. They'd be the 12th in the Republic, but it really comes to the fact that Eversheds International had decided to kind of go and set up their own business. And again, it's one of these little quirks with the various big international law firms. You can have a Dublin Eversheds and then an international Eversheds. But Eversheds International have kind of said that they wanted to launch a new operation in Ireland with offices in Dublin and Belfast. So the question was what the Irish arm was going to do. The international arm had poached a few of the Irish staff over to set up the new business. So, you know, people really did believe that this was just going to be a case that William Fry and the Eversheds Dublin will come together. But as I said, it's a big surprise. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. They said they ultimately just couldn't get to a point where the interests of each respective firm was being best served by going ahead with the deal. So there'll be a lot of people disappointed and say a lot of work has gone into this. So what will be interesting, I think, more is what happens to the Eversheds business now. They've obviously lost staff and you know, the management there are going to have to...
Yeah, and I suppose we should always remember these are partnerships in the main. So, you know, the solicitors own these firms. In most cases, they don't have traditional shareholders. So There's a lot of personal wealth and income on the line. Let's talk a little bit about our own income on being on the line in terms of what was happening with the foreign direct investment space. We see Pascal Donoghue. Now, we all know that that area is under pressure from the US, particularly the pharmaceutical sector is vulnerable to those tariffs. But Pascal Donoghue talking about shoring up the offering from Ireland with an enhanced R&D tax credit. There's apparently almost 2,000 firms already availing of this, but he wants to sweeten it up a bit, Aidan. Do you think that will be effective, or do you think that's small beer in the context of what Trump is doing?
Look, I think every little bit helps, number one. But I think the other thing that's very interesting, and it can be a much wider discussion in terms of the interaction between companies, R&D facilities, and some of the university research grants that are given out. Like, if you look at what's going on with, the universities, particularly the likes of Harvard and things like that in the US, not being able to get international, or not being able to recruit international students because of the visas and all this type of thing, you are seeing it with the potential for a lot of, very senior US academics looking overseas to things. So I think if you take it in the round, Emmett, this could be a very interesting win in time for Ireland if you kind of merge a decent tax break situation on the corporate side of it with, potentially academics and researchers looking to move out of the US into some universities, particularly in Ireland. And
I know, you have to laugh, don't you, in the sense that the whole kind of crux of what Donald Trump is doing is to try and drive investment back to the US, but one of the byproducts might be to drive investment in the completely opposite direction. Education and research.
Wouldn't be the first time a politician has made
law of unintended consequences strikes again. Listen, one final one before we move to the look at the markets, and I have to keep this one brief, but Michael O'Leary on track, on the runway, et cetera, to pick up €100 million of a bonus. He's hitting some of the targets there. He'd have to wait another few years, but €100 million is big money in anyone's life.
It is, there's no doubt about it. But I think, look, there's a few things. As you said, he's to wait 3 years to get this, and there's no guarantee that that's what his payout is going to be in 2028 when these options vest. I do think, it'll grab headlines again. But, when you put it in the wider context of I was only looking at something the other day, Brian Nichol, who took over from Starbucks in the US, is getting $113 million a year. So, this is the nature of it. And when you look at the share price performance of Ryanair over the long term, the shareholders will think he's been adding decent value over this.
And listen, just before you go, the markets over the last month, where are we exactly? Because obviously they took a tumble after Liberation Day, then they've recovered. So where are we settling down at this point?
Markets have had a very strong month again. And if you look, the US is up over 6%, Europe is up 4.5%, so it's been very strong. But I think under the surface, the US one is interesting because, we haven't mentioned it in a while, but actually the biggest driving force in the market in the month of May in the US has been the Magnificent Seven again. They're back on. If you look, they've accounted, they're up about 14.5% in the month, right? And what's probably behind that is we've seen a change, I think, or a big development in money flows, because it seems to be an awful lot of retail investors that have been piling money into the market in the month of May, when an awful lot of institutions have actually been taking money off the table. Institutions and hedge funds have been taking money off the table and kind of using the rally in the month to reduce some of their position. So we're coming into the question is that old adage, sell in May and go away. The question is, I suppose, as we go through June, July and August, what have we got? And with the president still having his Truth Social posts in his hand, who the hell knows at this stage?
I know you've got a tough job, you and your colleagues, to keep track of where he's going to go next. We'll have to leave it there for the moment. Thank you for joining us this Friday morning. That's Aidan Donnelly from Davy Stockbrokers. And coming up next, we'll be hearing about how first-time buyers continue to pour into the housing market.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.